the viewer is more in control than they've ever been before. And it just means it's a really challenging time in this current TV market. But there's got to become a time pretty soon that we just drop the C in CTV, because this is just the future of TV. And there are lots of opportunities to embrace. And that is an exciting area.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Identity Architects, the InfoSum podcast that spotlights the leaders in the media industry shaping the future of data-driven advertising. I'm your host, Ben Cicchetti, and this week I had the opportunity to sit down with Andy Jones, head of UK sales at Samsung Ads. Together, Andy and I dive into all the acronyms flooding the TV landscape right now. We deep dive into the fascinating Samsung Ads proposition, including how Samsung Ads is prioritizing consumer privacy and much, much more. Before we jump into that conversation, this is your reminder to hit that subscribe button so you'll always be the first to know when the latest episodes of Identity Architects drops. But without any further delay, here's my chat with Andy. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by Andy Jones, head of UK sales at Samsung Ads. Andy, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Ben. Lovely to be here. Thanks very much for inviting me.
For sure. So for anyone who's unfamiliar with you, can you just give us a quick introduction to both yourself, but also to Samsung Ads?
Well, as you've already said, so I'm Andy. I lead the UK sales team for Samsung Ads. I've been here for over 4.5 years, but Samsung launched its media division, I guess, at least 7 years ago now. Something I want to make sure that we get right from the start, Ben, is let's keep this as jargon-free as possible. So I hope I don't make any sort of regular referrals to media acronyms, but I promise I don't mean to. But let's keep it as basic as we can. So, Samsung, been here for the last 4 years, absolutely loved it. It's a very new division for the business. We are obviously well known for making TVs and hardware, and now we're launching a much softer type of division, so a media division. We underpinning our ad business is the wealth of data, which I'm sure we'll come into.
For sure. I'm super excited to dig into it to understand Samsung Ads in more detail. As you say, Samsung's kind of a household name, so it'll be interesting to get into the kind of media arm. But before we get into that, we'll start the way we always do, which is with a series of quick fire questions to get to know you a little bit better. Starting with, what's your earliest memory of advertising?
Earliest memory of advertising, I guess the ad that springs to mind immediately is the Hamlet ad. So recognizing the use of comedy in advertising that got friends talking. Not that I smoke a lot of Hamlets as a result, I'm afraid to say.
But it was memorable, and that's the key thing.
Exactly right.
So before you landed in the kind of media world, what did you want to be when you were growing up?
So I've always struggled with this. I think I've never really known what career I wanted to go into. I obviously went to school, but we lived at a school all my life. So my dad was a teacher. And at that stage, all I knew was that I didn't want to be a teacher because I'd had enough of school life by then. So as soon as I hit 18 and was able to leave, then it was just exploring sort of the variety of jobs that are available, I guess.
So what was your first job then in either media, advertising or marketing?
I did some work experience at a creative agency. In fact, it was a full services business called CDP. Ironically, the same company that created the Hamlet advert back in the day. But my first proper job was as a TV buyer at Zenith, an amazing grounding for my media career.
Yeah, I bet. What do you think it was about the media industry that kind of drew you in? Obviously, you did the work experience, but then actually landing on here as a career as well. What do you think it is about the advertising industry that drew you in and kind of what keeps you in it today?
I think initially it was about creativity. That's what drew me into advertising per se. But honestly, as I pivoted into the media buying area, it really was the culture and the people. I've still got so many friends from those initial buying days at Zenith. It was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant environment to kind of grow up in. And I see those friends and obviously making new ones as you go along. It really is the kind of a network that you build around this. And I think advertising in the marketing environment has got the kind of the best network of people that you could possibly look for.
Yeah, I agree. And it's awesome how often the kind of the answer to that question is the people. And it's just kind of a testament to how important that is in both your career and the companies you work at. So I think that's awesome. What advice then would you give to someone who's just starting out on their career in the media industry?
This is not a Samsung response. This is obviously my response. But we've got a couple of sort of words that we kind of live by here as we're trying to establish culture. And they're three H's. So our kind of values are hard work, harmony, and humility. And honestly, normally you work at a company and you can completely forget the kind of those kind of words. But they really stick with me, because I think if you embrace those kind of sort of assets throughout your career, you're not going to go too far wrong. And you can be humble, and you can be nice, and you can support each other, and you can work hard and be successful. And I think, yeah, being true to yourself, I know it sounds a little bit corny, but yeah, I think that sets you up to be a good person. And I think if you're a good person with this industry, you should be rewarded as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's great advice. Be a good person, and the three H's. I think that's a great way to live, and a great bit of advice for anyone who's starting in their career right now. We obviously work in an incredibly complex industry. You've obviously already mentioned the number of acronyms that exist and how quickly you can confuse anybody with those acronyms. How would you describe what you do within media and advertising to, say, a 10-year-old?
A 10-year-old, or my wife, or my mum. And simply put, I put ads on a Samsung telly. I think just don't make it more complex than that. Otherwise, I'll bore them senseless.
I think that's fair. I think it's a great answer, and it's a very short and snappy answer. I like that. What inspires you, right? We all have our ups and downs. We all have our career challenges at times, but what kind of keeps you inspired on a daily basis?
Ooh, I think it's generally people. I mean, I'm clearly a people person. It must be, because that's how I'm answering this as well. But I think people who maximize life. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they're adventurers, but it's just people who make the most of their day to day, because it's very easy to work hard. You do your commute, you get into work, you do your job, and then you get home again. And it's those people who are able to, yes, do that, but then maximize the times that they're not working. And I've got a few, I seem to surround myself with fairly adventurous people who are always planning something to do in their time off. And I do get great inspiration for that, and I'm far too often saying yes to things, which I must say I've never regretted. But yes, just generally people who maximize life. A friend of mine who actually is an adventurer has come up with a concept of micro adventures. So you work hard 9 to 5, but what do you do 5 to 9? And there is so much more that we could and should be doing. So I do try and take inspiration from people like that.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's awesome. So the final of the quickfire questions, and a personal favorite of mine. If there was a song that was a soundtrack to your life, what would it be?
Well, this is difficult, isn't it? I mean, it's hard enough picking your Desert Island Disc songs, but I've got terrible taste in music. So I obviously take the mickey out of myself talking about Chris de Burgh a lot, but it probably simply Mr. Jones, Counting Crows. It's an easy sort of cop out answer, I think.
It's a great answer. We have a playlist on Spotify where we put all of these songs onto, so that will now join the ranks. And it's a great playlist. Highly recommend.
It's quite helpful having the surname of Jones. It's pretty common. So me and Mrs. Jones was my first dance at our wedding as well. Not that it means that much to us, but it's just appropriate. So.
Yeah, that's great. I don't have that luck with the surname of Cicchetti, funnily enough. There aren't many songs with that in it. So we'll move on to some of the more topic and industry-related questions. But before we get into the specifics around Samsung ads, I'd love to get your perspective on the current connected TV, CTV market and the challenges that need to be solved for it to continue to thrive.
Period that we're in is unprecedented, isn't it? It's an incredibly exciting time. And I think we are in danger of using lots of acronyms. And that's the reason why I said that we want to avoid acronyms is put yourself in the position of the viewer, ultimately the customer. They are not sitting down and saying, oh, I fancy watching a bit of BVOD tonight or SVOD that's ad supported. it's a really exciting time, mainly because we are in a continued period of change, right? So we'll obviously come on to some of the viewing insights that we've got here at Samsung, but viewing habits are irreversibly changing. You know, linear ship viewing is declining. Set-top box usage is declining. There's continued rise in on-demand viewing. There's growth of other TV services like FAST. That's an acronym. We'll explain it in a bit. There's increasing penetration of smart TVs. Everyone's buying a smart TV when they buy a new TV. And that's fueling a change in viewing habits. And we're no doubt we'll talk about fragmentation, but there are multiple services, multiple different content types, but the viewer is more in control than they've ever been before. And it just means it's a really challenging time in this current TV market. But there's got to become a time pretty soon that we just drop the C in CTV, because this is just the future of TV. And there are lots of opportunities to embrace. And that is an exciting area. But probably the area that needs the biggest challenge that needs solving is probably that measurement piece. And I know you go to every single conference and everyone's talking about it. But yeah, having sort of really accurate ways of measuring TV usage and ad delivery and ad effectiveness is going to be kind of key to the future success of this business, I think.
I think that's a great point. I think it's interesting, right? Because we talk about, to your point, the idea of, you know, more and more people are buying smart TVs, but I actually don't know if it's possible to not buy a smart TV in 2024, right? I can't remember the last time I saw a TV that wasn't smart in the stores at this point.
Exactly right. I mean, you no doubt, on your table or in your pocket right now, you've got your phone. You haven't referred to that as your smartphone. It's exactly the same as TV. My TVs at home are all smart TVs. It's probably because of where I work, but I don't turn on my smart TV anymore. Or I don't turn on my connected TV. Increasingly, yeah, you just cannot buy a dumb TV anymore if we're talking about the opposite of smart. So we are going through exactly the same evolution as mobile, and it's coming pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. And obviously that leads us very nicely onto something we touched on right at the start, which is obviously Samsung is a household name, and to most people it's closely associated with producing those electronic devices that we've kind of talked about. But we know it's much, much more. Can you define for our audience the distinction between Samsung ads and Samsung electronics, and tell us about what role Samsung is playing in that media landscape?
Samsung is an incredible business, so I do love it here. Pretty much as soon as you join, we actually have to have 3 days of training. It's mandatory training, just to get a sense of the scale of the business. So you'll have a day learning about the Korean history and culture. Another day where we're talking about sort of internal teams, so what our marketing division does, our finance team, et cetera, et cetera. And then the third day is all about product. So it involves literally getting your hands on the variety of products that we're making. So the morning would be learning about our domestic appliances, so what sets our fridges apart from the rest of the business or the rest of the industry, washing machines, you know, cookers, vacuum cleaners. Then you've got a session on TVs and soundbars, and then you finish the day with mobile and wearables. And that's without even talking about air conditioning unit or our finance division or our heavy industry business. It is incredibly diverse, and that's to the company's huge credit. We make great products that people love. So that's kind of Samsung Electronics. And yeah, we can talk ad nauseum, as you can probably tell, about that. But the ad business is much more sort of much newer. So I think we're about 7 or 8 years old now. But we too are very diverse. Like we've got a huge first party data set that underpins our offering. We've got the ability to serve ads on the home screen of our TVs. We've got our own TV service called Samsung TV Plus, where we can serve ads to. We can even serve ads across other devices within the Samsung home. But in the office that I'm in right now, we've also got teams that look after our partnerships with gaming companies, our our partnerships with the TV companies that produce content. We've got teams that look after the art for our Frame TV. So everything that you can see within the TV device itself is kind of managed out of this team here. So we are incredibly diverse as a business. And I guess from an ads point of view, our role really varies. So we work in with multiple different advertisers for different objectives. So the TV home screen, as a manufacturer, that's become a search engine or a search or content recommendation engine. And our role there is to give viewers the option to open up apps or download apps to watch certain content and interact with brands. That's really central to our business, but that's not really defined as connected TV. Whereas TV Plus, which I've kind of mentioned, that's our free ad-supported streaming service. That's a great way for advertisers to extend the reach of their linear campaign. So the conversation that we'd have with Reckitt would be very, very different from the conversation we'd have with ITV or Netflix, for instance. So it's a challenge that we've ultimately got is understanding the objective of the client that we're talking to at any given time, because the product and service that we give them is actually pretty different. Is that probably too long an answer, isn't it? But there we go.
No, I think it's fascinating, right? I think, you know, from my perspective as a marketer and as a content marketer, I've long believed that the most successful brands and companies will become media companies in their own right. And we see it a lot. And I think Samsung is a prime example of that, obviously with the media business, but also, as you mentioned, with your own FAST channel now. I think it's fascinating. Clearly, underpinning all of Samsung Ads is an incredibly rich data asset. So can you tell us a bit about what data insights you're gathering at the moment and how?
As you were talking there, I was thinking something that we should probably stress is that this is, being a manufacturer, it's pretty unique, right? And of course, other manufacturers are now in this space with the likes of LG. But when you're talking about media and when we're talking about TV in the past, you would naturally think about the broadcasters, or if you're looking at internet and search, you'll be thinking about Google. You're never thinking about the device that you're actually watching on. And so what we're trying to educate the market is take a bit of a step back. Of course, you might be watching that service or that content, but what are you actually watching? You're watching glass. Mm-hmm. There's nuts and bolts, and there's a device there that you're actually watching. Now, this is crucial to our kind of offering market, is that we've got a glass level view of how our TVs are being used. So your question around sort of the rich data assets. It is worth maybe giving you a bit of a sort of a breakdown of the data that we were able to collect. So first of all, nothing is collected without consent. So again, part of the reason why I love being here is that we are first and foremost an electronics business, and now we're creating a media entity off the back of that. So without getting consent from the customer, the person who's actually bought our device, we wouldn't serve any ads. So the moment that TV's turned on, listen, Ben, when you've bought your new TV, we know that you would sign your life away. So you will consent to pretty much anything just to get the TV up and running. So we know that first part of the consent is not enough. So within the first week, we direct them to an app that we created on all of our TVs, which is called Ad Choices. So that's where we explain in more detail the privacy, the control that they've got, and the ability to opt in or out of advertising. Once we've got the consent, we've actually got permission to measure their TV usage, but nothing about them that's personal. So there's no PII data. But what do we know? So we know an awful lot about the device itself. So when it was first turned on, the screen size, the chipset. So if it's an 8K TV or a high definition TV, we'll know the internet service provider that it's using, and we'll know the IP address. So we got a very good idea of the location of that device. So that's all pretty useful information for us. We'll also know the language that TV is set to. We'll also know more about the hardware, but not our hardware, it's the third-party hardware, so we'll know what's connected into that TV, so from a games console or set-top box or a streaming stick. And then a crucial part of the offering is an ACR. Now, there's an acronym, but automatic content recognition. So effectively, we are it's our version of Shazam, but using picture. So at any given moment, we are understanding what image is on that glass level. So we're able to identify the programs that are being viewed, the ads that are being seen, the games that are being played. And whilst we don't read into the apps, we also know all the apps that are being used as well. So I've covered an awful lot, and there's just two other sections. One is that we're able to now work with third-party data providers. So it's not our view of the device, it's someone else's view. So from an Experian or any other third-party data provider, to be honest. And then the final part of the jigsaw is smart audiences. Everyone's got a bit of smart machine learning. Well, we're able to take a seed of an audience and identify sort of common traits and really grow based off AI. Like I said, there's a lot there, but that is most of our data is first party and deterministic. So they either have watched a show or have seen an ad or they haven't. So it gives us a really sort of rich data asset that is as you are asking the question, it's underpinning our media business.
Yeah, I think that's fascinating. And I think clearly that's incredibly rich data. Clearly it'd be incredibly valuable data to many, many parties. And when we think about that data collection, and you've already mentioned this, and which I think is amazing, which is, you know, how we prioritizing the privacy of consumers through that offering. So for any kind of Samsung TV owners listening right now, what should they know about how Samsung Ads is protecting their privacy whilst also being able to deliver this incredible solution?
Yeah, like I say, we wouldn't have launched a business, an ads business, without that privacy in place and the consent. So like I said, there's, I think, three times a year that you would be notified about the choices that you've made. So again, once when the TV is purchased, the second is within that first week, and then at least once or twice whenever you're going into our TV service. So just reminding customers that they are in a privacy first environment. So we don't sell our data, so we don't pass anything on to third parties. We don't collect anything that's personally identifiable. And we also sort of, even if we're looking at a geo level, we'll remove any postcodes that only have sort of one household. So my first port of call whenever we're launching any new product is our privacy team. And that's for the very good reason. We're not just protecting us as a media entity, but we're protecting the customer from a hardware point of view. So it's something that we are quite often quite slow at, but I think it's a really important reason for being slow, is that we're doing everything to be as compliant as we possibly can be.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And I think more and more that companies can put consumer privacy at the heart of everything they're doing, the more successful I think they'll be in the long term with their consumers. But also, I think obviously you future-proof yourself against any kind of future potential changes that could happen from a privacy regulation perspective. So we've touched on a few acronyms already. So we'll throw a few more out there that we can then define for everyone, as we promised we would. So AVOD, BVOD, FAST, we've already touched on. Clearly, these are interesting opportunities for advertisers. For anyone unfamiliar, can you just give us a quick definition of each and how you see each of those services evolving?
Well, it's all becoming hybrid now, isn't it? So let's take the first point. So what is the definition? Okay, so AVOD, advertiser-funded video on demand. That is when you go into an app where and you select the content you want to watch, and then it will load over the internet, and you'll be served a pre-roll or mid-roll. But it's very much the viewer discretion, so it's on demand. The other on-demand service is BVOD, broadcaster video on demand. It's exactly the same as AVOD, but just given its separate category. Will that continue in the future? Probably not in terms of that separate category. It's just TV, isn't it? But it's from broadcasters. So it's the likes of ITVX and Channel 4. MyFive, UK TV, etc. And then Fast. So this is the newest kid on the block, I guess. So free ad-supported streaming TV. There's a mouthful. But it's really similar to linear. So there's an EPG. It's scheduled content. So you would go into a free ad-supported streaming TV service, a Fast service like Samsung TV Plus, and you can either select the channel or the content that you want to watch. Now, the time right now of recording is 2:30. There will be a half-hour program that you're selecting into. You would have missed the first a couple of minutes, but it's a linear-style environment, but just delivered over the internet. Now, to confuse matters even further, if you wanted to watch the start of that show, you could go into the VOD environment. But it's all becoming hybrids because, you know, other acronyms that we haven't used is subscription services. But the SVOD providers, the subscription services, they're launching their ad tiers. So in future, we've got to stop sort of getting confused amongst ourselves. It's either going to be carrying ads, it's an ad environment, or it's not really. I just think we get confused about the definition, and kind of comes back to the point I made right at the very beginning. No one turns their TV on and thinks I'm going to watch the Fast channel. They just want to watch the content that appeals to them at that given moment. So as long as we as an industry can just keep pace of the viewer choice and their viewing habits, I think we'll be in a good place. But ultimately, whether or not we're talking about AVOD, BVOD, Fast, SVOD, TVOD, all the others, it kind of doesn't matter. Does it support ads or not?
I think it's interesting as well, because as you say, everything's coming a little bit more hybrid. But also, if we think about consumer behavior, the consumer, to your point, doesn't really care about the service. Obviously, there's a care as to what services they've either subscribed to or signed up to, but they care about the content. And obviously, that's an incredible role that I know Samsung Ads plays on your screens, which is, you know, that content discovery opportunity and the ability to find content. And that's really what consumers want. And I'm sure that's where we're going to head more and more, is just that ability to discover content in a more organic way, regardless of the service. And then it'll be kind of jumping between services. So, you know, we touched on a whole bunch of services there, AVOD, BVOD, Fast, SVOD. How does Samsung Ads complement each of these offerings, and how are you different to them?
We kind of almost need to look at ourselves as a manufacturer first, right? So we are an incredibly important partner for all of the services that are on our TVs. So what may surprise you is that some of our closest partnerships are with the broadcasters. So we, from an ads perspective as well. So from a manufacturer point of view, they need to have their app on our TVs from a distribution platform. So at the time of recording in the UK, we've got 9.5 million TVs. If a broadcaster doesn't have their app on our TVs, that's a big hole in the market for viewers. Mm-hmm. So what we do with them is not only to make sure that they're in a prominent position on our TVs, but we're also working with them to define a strategy to increase app usage, to increase app dwell time, to announce new content, and even helping them with their content acquisition strategies, because we know what content is being viewed by what type of audiences. So there's a huge area of expertise that we're bringing to that market for app partners. And it's not just the broadcasters, it's the other streaming services as well. When it comes to advertisers, we are doing a huge amount to help them with their branding objectives and ultimately sort of sales and attribution objectives. And from a viewer perspective, this kind of goes back to us as a manufacturer. We're trying to help the viewer navigate through the complexity of all the different services and content offerings that there are now. So using our TV, I'd hope listeners here who have got a Samsung TV, it's pretty easy to use our ecosystem, UI, our operating system. It's easy to navigate, just as easy to navigate from a linear channel to an on-demand service. So, but if the viewer is unsure of what they want to watch, we make it really pretty easy to discover new content, either through ads or simply pressing down on their remote when they're on the home screen environment. Then you get transported into our universal guide, giving you content suggestion. And increasingly, we're using UI on that. So if a viewer watched, I don't know, The Crown, we are able to then give content suggestion of other really high quality sort of dramas that they might be interested in. So it's, like I say, it's kind of is multifaceted, but ultimately Samsung is trying to help the viewer to navigate to and find the content they want to watch.
Yeah, I think it makes it simple. Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. I think it's interesting, right? Because obviously what we talked about there is the a little bit earlier on was the fragmentation from a consumer perspective, which is, you know, all they care about is the content, but it's fragmented across many, many devices. But often when we talk about fragmentation within the industry, we're talking about it more from a brand advertiser perspective. So how do you see Samsung Ads helping solve for the current fragmentation that exists within the addressable TV landscape?
Well, as you said, fragmentation is caused by different services being viewed on multiple devices. So if people are at home watching their TV, it might be on their set-top box or via their games console or through their Chrome stick or a streaming puck, or it might be even, you know, content they're watching on their mobile or tablet. Increasingly, though, we are seeing smart TVs being that one single source. Why do I say that? So we're seeing a rapid decline in additional devices that are connected to our TVs. So when I first started 4 years ago, roughly half of our TVs had a set-top box connected to it. Now, in 2024, we're seeing less than 20% of our TVs that have a connected set-top box. We're able to look at different device years as well. I mean, the models that we sold in 2023, less than 5% of those TVs have a set-top box connected. Wow. So here's the acronym, cord cutting. That's just a phrase, really. It's not an acronym, isn't it? But that is what's going on. People are cutting the cord. They're getting rid of their set-top box subscriptions and finding all the content they want to watch within that smart TV ecosystem. So that's a general trend that's actually going to help the ecosystem become less fragmented because it's actually all being viewed on one device. That's the trend we're seeing. And then where we're trying to help solve this fragmentation is ultimately through education. So our insights can help better understand the way TVs are being used. So help advertisers and agencies understand what ads have been seen, like the frequency of ad exposure on linear. The programs that are being viewed, the games that are being played. And something that's generating a lot of traction right now is helping advertisers and agencies plan their campaigns more efficiently. So because we know at that holistic level who has seen or has not seen an ad, well, we're providing insights of those audiences that have or have not been seen on linear environments. It's an area that we're really exploring, and honestly, where it works best is where we are being challenged by those advertisers to understand the media ecosystem more.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. I think it's an incredibly exciting space, and as you say, it's evolving quickly. I think one of the things we saw happen a lot in 2023 was the kind of convergence of retail media and BVOD services. Do you see the Samsung Ads offering converging with other media offerings in a similar way? I'm a big gamer, so I'm always interested to hear about how Samsung's ads might converge with the world's, you know, largest entertainment industry, which is gaming right now.
Unlike you, I'm not a gamer. I think the extent of my gaming is playing a bit of solitaire on my old mobile phone. But it doesn't mean I don't have a view on this. So I think part of the secret of Samsung's success is their constant need for innovation. So for our 2022-23 model TVs, we've got an environment within that TV that's called the Gaming Hub. So we're working with some of the biggest, you know, games consoles and biggest gaming brands. So because there's no need to connect your console into a TV. This gaming hub environment is a cloud-based computing, a cloud-based gaming environment. So all you need to do is connect your controller via Bluetooth to the TV, have an Xbox Pass, for instance, and then you're automatically syncing and playing games on that device. So that's an area of massive focus for us, and it's another reason why people would buy a Samsung TV over a rival brand. And I think retail is a huge opportunity and focus for us going forward. I think this whole connected TV environment is at the true intersection between digital and TV. So we're moving from pure brand-led TV into more digital measurement, digital focus. So in the US, for example, we've got a really, really strong retail proposition, in my view. So we've got a digital out-of-home business because we make, I think, about a third of all global out-of-home screens. So we've got screens in store. So theoretically, we can measure ad exposure across TV, mobile, and then in-store footfall. And so ultimately, from ad exposure through to purchase, which is pretty compelling. Now, that's not available in all markets because all markets are different, of course. But I think that's showing the ambition that we've got as a business. And I think in terms of me converging with other media offerings, I guess complexity, but also the beauty of being that manufacturer is that we're already partnering with some of our biggest competitors, I guess. So the biggest broadcasters and studios, production companies are already, we're already working really, really closely. So as they onboard their own fast channels or they're working with us in an advertising environment, everyone in this ecosystem is either a partner or a competitor, but it's understanding how we can evolve those partnerships and strengthen them and deepen them in the future, and where we can corroborate and collaborate, I think we will do so. Where we're competitive, we'll shake their hands and wish them well. But it's a really, really exciting area going forward, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And quite often, maybe it's because it's an InfoSum podcast, but the theme of collaboration comes up a lot, which I just love, because I think the kind of collective responsibility we all have to underpin the future of this industry and to partly rebuild the industry, right, as we've kind of gone through a massive change from a landscape perspective, I think it's fascinating. So I think it's great to hear about those collaborations. As we wrap things up, what can you give us as a bit of a preview for the long-term vision for Samsung Ads? Like, what's the next stage of the proposition, and then what's kind of a future state for the proposition?
Gosh, I mean, we're 6-7 years in, we're still only just getting started. So I think from Samsung's point of view, I think we want to maintain and build on that status as being the leading TV manufacturer. So constantly giving our customers not only the best products, the best innovation, but from an ads point of view, we want to give them the best media service. So we're investing a lot into content. So the content that you will have seen on Samsung TV Plus is going from strength to strength as we're onboarding new channels and working with other sort of production partners. So this sounds terribly salesy, but if you turn your TV on now, you've got the Graham Norton channel, or you can watch Narcos or Schitt's Creek. That's come a long way from 4 years ago when we first launched Samsung TV Plus. So, but that media services is still going to continue to be free with no sign up, and that's going to fuel TV device sales, and so that helps the whole Samsung ecosystem. And I think from Samsung Ads, our long-term vision is getting closer to advertisers. So, working with them, understanding their objectives and helping them to achieve their objectives and ultimately capitalize on this total TV landscape. Because we are still talking about CTV. Let's drop the C. Let's talk about TV. It's going to continue to evolve, but what it's not going to do is go backwards. Long gone are the days that we just have four channels. It's still going to be really complex and competitive, but the more that we can do to help simplify the proposition, I think the best that Samsung will be in the future.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's great to hear, and I think it's a super exciting space. Is there anything we haven't touched on that you would like to cover before we wrap things up?
Well, one of my H's, I guess, humility, is to say to you, Ben, we haven't really touched on InfoSum yet hugely, and I'd just like to kind of thank you guys, because you're actually helping open doors to clients directly for us. So, you know, we've got a compelling first-party data proposition. It's understanding how we can support clients with more collaboration, and how we can start syncing data sets in a really compliant, safe way. For a lot of clients, they're still at the beginning of the journey, and to be honest, so are we. Using you guys as kind of the introducers, I guess, is very much appreciated, and we look forward to working more collaboratively as we go forward.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's such an incredibly exciting partnership. Obviously, it's a global partnership, and I just think it's incredibly exciting. I'm excited to see more and more in the future. Obviously, this podcast is all about speaking to pioneers such as yourself who are innovating new ways to use data to deliver exciting customer experiences. So when you look to people that you admire within the industry, who would you nominate for us to interview on an upcoming episode?
First of all, I love the fact that you've called me a pioneer. I don't think anyone has done that. So I will tell my mother and my wife to start watching this. It's kind of a similar answer to this one. We're at that intersection between a fully digitalized world. So I think there are some really interesting business and individuals who are bringing that measurement into this kind of newer TV environment. So, you know, when we talk about data, we're talking about how to measure ad delivery, how to assess media attribution, how to measure performance, but ultimately it's about sales. You know, how we are delivering meaningful ROI from brand building to shifting product or delivering a return. I think there's a lot of really interesting individuals, but also a lot of really interesting companies. So, you know, for me personally, I'd genuinely be interested to see what the likes of, you know, those retail sector, so the Deliveroos or the Boots, are doing in this space, because I know that they're sat on really interesting first-party data sets and how they are collaborating in this environment. So there's a very rich environment to start digging into.
Yeah, I agree. I think those will be fascinating conversations, and we'll definitely get some folk on the podcast. Andy, thank you so much for being on Identity Architects. Thank you so much for providing so much insight, not only into obviously what Samsung Ads is doing, but just the general kind of quote-unquote connected TV market. Hopefully we can all move to a world where we just call it TV. I completely agree with you. But thank you so much for being on the podcast and for being such a fantastic partner for InfoSum.
Loved it. Thanks, Ben. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Andy for joining us. I echo his excitement about our partnership, and I'm fascinated by brands finding creative ways to act more like media companies. So I personally loved gaining a rich understanding of the Samsung Ads solution. All that leaves me to do is to remind you to hit that subscribe button so you'll know when the next episode of Identity Architects lands. But until then, thanks for listening.